You're listening to Clack Radio, produced by members of the Anti-Capitalist Convergence of Montreal. On Friday, April 26th, Clack organized a torchlit march to denounce and oppose the G8 Labour Ministers meeting, which took place in Montreal, April 25th to 27th. The demonstration on April 26th was part of a larger effort to critique and confront the G8 at home and abroad, as we lead up towards the G8 meetings which will be taking place in Kananaskis, Alberta on June 26th and 27th. In this effort, Clack, among other groups, is organizing 2 days of action to oppose the G8 in Ottawa on June 26th and 27th. The torchlit march against the G8 never happened, as police surrounded the march entirely, preventing it from happening at all, erasing basic civil liberties such as freedom of assembly and speech. As two members of the Clack, Karina Chagnon and Sarita Ahuja, were surrounded by the Montreal police, they spoke about the G8, police and state repression and resistance.
There are about 500 people in the park. Starting from 4 o'clock, people started to gather, and there were several speeches being given talking about what the G8 is, what they want to do, and talking about the Labour Ministers' meeting today and their plans and how they want to flexibilize the workforce, how they want to bust unions, how they want to make sure that there's minimum salary, a vast pool of cheap labor so they can keep their machine running. And at a certain point, the cops start to move in from the south side of the park, and we start seeing deployments of cops up on the north side of Peel and coming in on the other street in the park of Park Dominion. I don't know what it's called. And so immediately it was very clear that their plan was they wanted to box us in. At which point people started to take to the street saying, whose streets? Our streets. And that's when they started moving in faster. And some people were able to disperse. Some people were able to get into the restaurants that are located on Peel and save themselves. But a lot of the people who wanted to continue demonstrating and to fight for our right were eventually overpowered by the police force, and they were able to encircle us. They also started to spray pepper spray on people, which adds to confusion. And so they managed to box us in. How does it play out? It depends on us and how we want to make our point clear. We have a lot of work to do. We have to educate on how repression works on a psychological level, because people do get scared when they start seeing this. It's something that people haven't lived in a long time. You know, people from the 60s and 70s can remember clearly how that works. But people are feeling the fear. They are still taking the streets, but there's fear. And this makes it even more difficult, I think, for us to educate. But I think we definitely have the strength to talk about it, to denounce it. We have to go out more and talk. And we have to take to the streets in other ways, too. And that maybe doesn't mean demos. It may mean you go out and you take a public space and you talk about what's going on. And you say, on this date here, people were talking about what the G8 wants to do, and we were arrested. You know, we have to go out and denounce it. We have to be in community radio shows talking about how it's affecting us.
Why the G8? The G8 groups the 8 most economically and politically powerful countries of the world. They have a capitalist consensus. They have an ideological consensus amongst themselves. And that consensus on different issues comes through international institutions, through the International Monetary Fund, through the World Bank, because the G8 to itself has 50% of the votes. It goes through the UN. It comes through structural adjustment programs. In the South, it comes through the campaign, you know, in Quebec that was zero deficit in 96, which are all campaigns that are policies, rather, that push the liberalization of goods, the liberalization of markets, which means really that, you know, they want to eliminate all barriers to trade, and that's where the labor ministers of the G8 comes in, because it's directly related to labor. Pushing back barriers means cracking down on unions, slashing your welfare, slashing your unemployment insurance. They try to make the job market flexible, which means that they want people that are non-specialized or non-qualified for good jobs to be able to go through programs that can train them for a specific need the market has. They'll be employed by a company that is going to manufacture a certain amount of products upon a demand, and then they'll be back on EI, which means it's work just in time and it's production just in time, which is a really big change. And the GA just tries really hard to make unions look like puppets, which they are at this point. Yesterday the unions went and met with the G8 ministers, you know, asking for really wishy-washy demands. And we know very well that the G8, there's no way of reforming the G8. Their only wishes are more economic, more profits for an elite, more power for the same elite. And that's all that matters to them. It doesn't matter to them that people, you know, in Montreal, while the G8 ministers are here, people have problems with housing, people have problems with employment, with the criminalization of immigrant communities. We have all these kinds of problems in Montreal, and the G8 is definitely not the group that's going to be addressing these problems. They're just going to be making these problems worse.
Today also just makes it that much more clearer, just drives the point home that this is a war, and it's a very well orchestrated war, and it has many different levels. Like I was saying before, on a psychological level and on a physical level, and today they want to make sure that we understand that this is a war. And what we have to start understanding, what we have to start talking about and defending, is our self-defense in this war. And that's what we have to be doing, and we have to be organizing, and organizing much, much, much better than what we're doing now. And that's part of the challenge in the movement, because they are managing to play on the divide that exists between good protesters and bad protesters. And that's where we understand what solidarity means. We have to be that much more organized and that much more upfront and asserting publicly at all moments that this is a war and we have a right to self-defense. And what does self-defense mean? It means taking to the street, but it can mean a lot more that too, because when they attack us, we got to organize to attack back. And we are going to attack back. We're boxed in today, but that doesn't mean that we're going to be boxed in tomorrow. And they're going to see that we're not going to be boxed in. We're going to make sure that everybody knows that we can organize. We have the power to organize, and we can attack. And we can attack at any moment when they aren't meeting. Okay, when they're not sitting down drinking their cocktails and talking about how they want to beat heads in. We're going to be planning our attacks, and it's going to happen now at any moment. And it's not them that are going to call it. We're going to start calling those.
As 147 people were ticketed for illegal assembly and 25 people were arrested for a number of charges, from breach of conditions to assault on an officer, CLAC denounced the police assault on the protest. From the silencing of the right to protest to the false claims of CLAC's violent history, CLAC held a press conference on Sunday, April 28th, to denounce the police action and look towards building resistance in the future. Zev Tiefenbach spoke at this press conference. He addressed his experiences on April 26th. Zev was beaten and given 5 tickets totaling $415 for riding a bicycle near the demonstration.
I'm a coordinator of a local soup kitchen. I have no organizational affiliation, and I had no specific role in the terms of the organization and carrying through of this demonstration. I came to the demonstration as a participant, and I'm going to give a first-hand account of my experience in the demonstration and following, which in my mind very specifically point towards a trend of the criminalization of dissent and the gross abuse of police power. I came to the demonstration at approximately 6 p.m. after the crowd had been encircled and stood outside. At approximately 8:30 p.m., the police began to move people in buses to various locations in the city to drop them off. I followed them on these buses on my bicycle in order to inform other organizers of their whereabouts and to ensure that all the people were being released. On one occasion when I was following the buses, the police cruiser that was escorting the bus abruptly stopped in front of me. The two police officers bolted out of the vehicle and tackled me off of my bicycle. I was dropped to my feet whereupon the police asked me to identify myself. I refused as I had done nothing wrong, and the police proceeded to hit me in the face, which caused my face to bleed. After continuing to refuse to identify myself, the police handcuffed me, informed me that I was being charged with an infraction and that if I did not identify myself, I would be taken to the police station and arrested. Thereupon, I agreed to identify myself and gave identification. The police officer who assaulted me took my identification and to the cruiser, where the other police officer informed me that I was to remain calm. I asked him why I had been assaulted, and he informed me that if I did not remain calm, I would be further assaulted as there was no one there to witness my assault. I told him that this was a gross violation of police power, and he informed me that no one was there to see it and that I would be severely abused if I did not shut up. He threw me into the police van, first against the door, and then he opened the door and threw me inside. He proceeded to follow me into the van, removing his baton, removing his truncheon, and threatening to beat me. At that point, I shut my mouth. The police officers called in reinforcements, and another police van arrived with two officers. The four officers conferred and brainstormed potential infractions with which they could charge me with. In the end, they presented me with a nice collection of five infractions. I'm going to briefly let you guys know what these infractions are, because in my mind, they seem to extend well beyond the reasonable limits of what the police should be allowed to do. These infractions include making an audible noise in public and the exterior, and that's an infraction of $138. Participating in an unlawful assembly, as other people were given infraction for $138. This one's my personal favorite. Riding my bicycle without holding the handlebars at all times, and that's for $27. This one here is for riding my bicycle and not coming to a full stop at a red light, and that's for $27 and 3 points on my driver's license. And then this is another favorite of mine, which is depositing a liquid in a public place. And this one is for $85. Now, with this one, I'm specifically curious about it because I'm wondering if that was the blood that was coming out of my face after they hit me, if that was the liquid they're referring to. It's rather ambiguous, so I'm really quite unclear.
As protesters experienced many harsh, unjust crackdowns, the police attempted to justify this abuse of power with claims that weapons were brought to the protests and seized by police. Scott Weinstein, a nurse and street medic, demystified the police claims at the press conference.
The arms of the demonstrators. And so first you see like a banner, okay, which is obviously a form of free expression. Then you see like the helmets, the gas masks. And what we want to say is that I'm a medic, okay? I've been training people to be medics at these demonstrations for 2 years. We advise all demonstrators who go to a demonstration where there is a risk of police violence, and unfortunately that is a common risk here in Quebec and especially in Montreal, to bring gas masks to protect themselves against chemical weapons such as pepper spray, which was used, and tear gas. And we also advise them to bring helmets to protect themselves against police batons. My specialty, I'm a nurse, I'm a registered nurse. I do research on brain injuries, as well as the medics are finishing research on the tear gas that was used in Quebec. This stuff is not benign. What we've shown in Quebec is that many people have suffered long-term respiratory as well as other systemic problems from the tear gas. So we do advise protesters to protect themselves. And if they're saying that, it looks here that the police are trying to ban forms of protection against violence, and you know, we of course object to that. People should have the right to protect themselves against any form of violence. The other thing is that TV news shows showed André Delorcher, the spokesperson for the police, with a bottle of a plastic bottle with gray tape around it saying that this is a Molotov cocktail. And in fact, those bottles are used by the medics. They're full of mineral oil, which is essentially baby oil without fragrance. They're not flammable. We use it to treat victims of pepper spray. This is propaganda by the police to criminalize the protesters.
The realities which were faced on April 26 when protesters attempted to voice dissent and opposition to the G8 were cruel and unjust. However, just days later, thousands marched in Montreal for May Day. Clack urges those who are charged on April 26 to challenge the tickets and get in touch with us for further questions. Clack still builds towards June 26 and 27, where activists from around North America will be converging on Ottawa to oppose the G8. Clack's next General Assembly is Wednesday, May 15th at 7 p.m. The Assembly takes place at Lakes, 182 St. Catherine East. You can reach Clack at 514-409-2049. Clack at tao.ca, Quebec2001.net.